Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. There were 2,615 new cases of COVID-19 in the Commonwealth yesterday. Governor Charlie Baker's models have estimated our peak to be somewhere between April 10th and April 20th, putting us 3 days into that window now. So where are we in the coronavirus surge? How much further do we have to go? And will the worst-case scenario that the state has modeled prove to be accurate? On the line to help us discuss the knowns and the unknowns is Dr. Josh Barokas. He's an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center and an assistant professor of medicine at Boston University School of Medicine. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Dr. Barokas.
How are you today?
I'm well, thanks, and I wanted to ask you the same. How are you?
I'm okay. I got a full night's sleep last night, which was the first in a while, so I can't complain today.
That's great. I'm glad to hear it. And I'm sorry to hear that it's the first time in a while.
I
imagine that will continue. I know you are now spending a lot of your time at the East Newton Pavilion at BMC, which was recently reopened to help treat people experiencing homelessness. So what have you been seeing on the ground there?
So we're seeing just in general across the city and at BMC, we're seeing a very full hospital. I think that that's what most of the hospitals across the city are experiencing. And we're seeing filling up what I'm calling pop-off valves, the places like our COVID recuperation unit, which is what we're calling the East Newton Pavilion, the convention center, all of these places around town are steadily filling up.
So over the weekend, or I guess at the end of the week last week, Governor Charlie Baker in a press conference said that roughly there was about 55% of the bed capacity in the Commonwealth full. Today he said it was similar, around 50% full, but that was not evenly distributed across the Commonwealth. What is your take on what that ratio might be in our major hospitals in the city of Boston?
Well, I think that the major hospitals in Boston are and I can't speak for all of them, of course, and even our own are being updated on a regular basis. But I think that we are experiencing a very high capacity of COVID-positive patients as well as non-COVID-positive patients, you know, just because, and I think that this is one of the things we have to consider, that just because COVID is ruling effectively 90 to 99.9% of our lives right now, it doesn't mean that the other diseases stop. Prior to getting to entering the COVID epidemic, we have to remember that we were experiencing an epidemic of opioid-related overdoses, substance use overdoses in general. We still have heart disease, and we still have lung disease, and we still have diabetes, and all of these other chronic and acute conditions. They don't necessarily stop, and so all of the hospitals, especially the tertiary care centers, the big major hospitals in Boston right now, are having to contend with a growing COVID positive population, as well as the continued high level of care that a lot of people need that is not COVID-related.
So, Dr. Barokas, I can imagine a listener hearing you say that and thinking, one of my bad nightmares right now would be getting sick, not just from COVID-19, but from something that isn't COVID-19 and having to go to the hospital now. This is going to sound like a strange question, but is it safe to need to go to the hospital? Do you understand what I'm trying to ask you?
Absolutely. So, we've as many people know, first and foremost, we've expanded telehealth throughout the Commonwealth and throughout the country. So that is, for a lot of people, making evaluations of their clinical needs. Actually, I don't want to say it's easier, but there's a different route now that wasn't necessarily accessible prior to COVID. If someone is feels like they need to go to the hospital or if they need to be brought to the hospital for any reason, I do want to reassure listeners and the public writ large that we will do our absolute best to care for you and keep you safe from COVID and from whatever the other malady is that you happen to be experiencing. You know, we have outstanding, and I say this for across the board, we have outstanding infection control procedures put in place. We're making sure that our patients are protected, and we also still have functioning general medicine and general surgery and cardiology teams that aren't necessarily just focused on COVID. So we've made sure that the hospital has safe places for non-COVID patients. Absolutely, we don't want to see other diseases increase in the time of COVID. And so this is a good time, truly, to check in with your primary care doctor via that telehealth call. It's a good time to make sure that you have all of your medications refilled, because we want to make sure that the other chronic diseases that people are maybe dealing with and contending with, they're under control too. But absolutely, if you need to come to the hospital, we will make sure that you are safe.
So, Dr. Barocas, originally the governor talked about a model that predicted kind of a surge and peak somewhere between April 7th and April 17th. Then it was shifted to April 10th to the 20th. Late last week, he said he thought we might be closer to the 20th. But that model was predicated on sort of bad days being about 2,500 cases. We hit 2,600 cases just yesterday. We're pretty early on in that window. And that model was supposed to be kind of preparing for worst case scenario. Does that mean we are in worst case scenario territory now? And how much worse do you think it's going to get before it gets better?
Well, so, you know, There's an old saying that all models are wrong and some models are useful. And I think that one of the things that we all have to remember is that these models just are predicated on the existing data that we have. There are other models out there right now that put us a peak a little bit further out than the 20th. And so do I think that we're in the worst of it now? It's really hard to say. And one of the things that I more importantly want to hammer home is that even, you know, we imagine this peak as a single day, and then all of a sudden, magically, we start to decrease the number of cases, and we almost look at it like a child's drawing of a literal peak. But we have to remember that a peak can last for a very long time, that it could actually be a plateau, that it can be a very long stretch of time where we are in a quote unquote worst case scenario, or we are in an overwhelmed capacity. And I point a little bit towards New York City, and you know, the mayor there has done an outstanding job with the available resources. But there has been this ongoing onslaught of cases and hospitalizations and deaths. So the peak itself didn't actually just last one day. It lasted a number of days. It lasted weeks. And so it's unclear when we're actually going to hit that magic top of the peak. But what's more unclear is how long it's going to actually stay there.
In the past, you and I have talked about personal protective equipment. I want to check back in about that again, especially after new reporting that shipment that of the million masks that the Patriots airplane brought in and caused a collective sigh of relief in the Commonwealth contained some masks that are questionable depending on who you look to authorize their use. That's the KN95 mask versus the N95 mask. For a layperson, can you explain the difference between those, and are those KN95 masks usable here in the Commonwealth?
Well, I can't speak to what was on the Patriots plane. I wasn't privy to what was there, and so anything that you're hearing, I'm hearing too. But I haven't actually seen them myself. You know, the I think what I want to make sure that everybody is aware of is that we have this notion of personal protective equipment, and that the only way to protect ourselves is with an N95 mask, a face shield, two sets of gloves, and a gown, which is the picture that we see on social media or on the news. And that's true for different environments. But as people, your listeners, are listening here, I don't want people to get the impression that even that cloth mask that they use, and I hope they're using to walk down the street, isn't a good barrier for them, and that they have to go out and find an N95. So everything right now is context specific. In the hospital, we have aerosolizing procedures where people are at higher risk because there are more droplets around. And so as a result, we want to make sure that what our healthcare workers are wearing, that are performing those aerosolized procedures, protect them to the best of their ability, right? So, even the most protective equipment isn't 100%, but those are the cases where we want the best N95s and where we want those face shields. For the family that's taking a 6 foot apart stroll down the street after dinner, that's wearing a cloth mask, that's likely good personal protective equipment for that family because they aren't interacting with anyone else. And really what we're trying to do is keep my three-year-old from putting her fingers in her mouth, so she gets her cloth mask and it covers up her mouth after she touches, something, a railing, walking down some steps or whatnot. So I just want to be careful because all of this is very context and environment specific.
All right. And we are out of time, unfortunately. That's Dr. Josh Barokas, infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center and an assistant professor of medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine. I appreciate you joining us, Dr. Barokas. Thank you, and stay safe. Be well.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.